The following message was delivered at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma on April 23, 2023. The speaker is Mr. Terry Miller, a ruling elder. The message is based upon James 1:2-12. And it is titled, A Sermon on James 1:2-12.
James chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 2 through 12. 2 through 12. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Ends the reading of our word. Christians see the world differently than unbelievers, don't we? We see the world differently. We see trials differently than the world, than the ungodly in the world. Unbelievers experience trials and they see it as defeat, hopelessness. They have little hope. They may see it as fate. But we have a different view of trials. James gives us a different view of trials here in the book of James. We see by faith the sovereign hand of God providentially at work in our lives when we go through trials. All Christians will encounter trials. We encountered one today, didn't we? We encountered a trial today. Every Christian will encounter trials. And if you don't encounter trials, I would wonder about your faith, if you are a Christian at all. We see trials working for God's glory and for our good, as God is causing these trials to work together for our good, as Paul says in the book of Romans. Trials teach us to have a greater trust in God. Trials bring us closer to God. Trials bring us closer to others who are going through similar trials that we've gone through, so that we may comfort them. Trials bring about humility, brokenness, and repentance. Trials wean us off of worldly things and away from this world. Trials remind us that we are living for another world, another future world of glory waiting ahead for us. Trials shape us and conform us into the image of Christ. God is a very purposeful God. He's working out his purpose in our lives, and he uses trials to do that. Are you in the midst of a trial now? As I mentioned, we had one today. Do you see God's hand in it when you go through a trial? You're not alone when you go through a trial. Sometimes we think we're alone and God is far from us, but we shouldn't think that. God is in the trial with us. Every trial that we had, God is with us in the trial, and we should be seeking the Lord's wisdom and saying, Lord, what you have to teach me in this trial, for God does not waste his providence. Do you see the good that God is working in the trials that you go through? Do you look for good, or do you only complain and feel pain? Do you look for good even though it hurts? Even though it hurts. God uses trials to bring men to faith. How many here have been brought to faith because of a crisis or a trial in your life? Perhaps you have. I've known many. I have a nephew who was in prison for 7 years in Tennessee. But he blesses the Lord for that trial because he came to faith in Christ in that prison. God used that prison time that he spent to bring him to faith in Christ. Bless the Lord that if this is the case, if you do come to Christ through a trial, God providentially uses trials to get your attention. He grabs us by the ears and speaks to us in His Word. It's not while we are at ease in Zion that God shapes us and molds us and burnishes us. It's when we go through adversity and times of trial. We'll look at this passage of James in three heads. The people of trials, which are God's elect, our perspective of trials, and the purposes of trials. The people of trials, God's elect, our perspective of trials, and the purposes of trials. James deals with all of these in this text. Well, first in verse 1, he declares, the people of trials, my brethren, he says, Jewish believers, those who were dispersed abroad, he's addressing. He's addressing my brethren to believers. Being a Christian does not exempt us from trials, but rather it adds to our trials. We have trials added as by virtue of being persecuted as Christians by others. We have some trials, like, for example, Job went through trials by God because he wished to shape Job and to sanctify Job in a greater way. God didn't promise us a rose garden, did he? Anybody know the song, I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden? Gene's heard of that song. We won't have him sing it. God didn't promise us a rose garden either, did he? What did he say? Take up your cross and follow me. What is it saying about taking up your cross? What is that involved? Jesus says, follow me and suffer as I've suffered. Take up your cross. Suffer with me as a soldier of the cross, he says elsewhere. Count the cost. It will be costly following Christ. In Luke 14, Jesus said, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Being a Christian may set us against brother and sister and father and mother. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and considers whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. What is the cost of being a disciple of Christ? Luke here says, forsaking everything that you have, all for Christ. When you encounter various trials, trials should be expected by us. What does Peter say in 1 Peter 4? Beloved, do not think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think it is a strange thing or unexpected thing that comes upon you. It will come. God has trials met for each one of us that he wants us to go through. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory of God rest upon you. Here, Peter speaking of those who were suffering in the early church, suffering persecution. But this applies just as well to any trial or tribulation that we go through. John's gospel says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, we are to count it all joy. We are to be of good cheer. That's difficult to do, isn't it, when we're going through a tribulation? In this world, you will have it. It's not a matter of if, but when you will have tribulation. And Paul says to Timothy, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You will go through trials of persecution by unbelievers. It has been granted to you to suffer for Christ. I remember a funny article that was on a Reformed blog, and a man was down on his knees proposing to his girlfriend. And he has a ring in his hand, and he asked his girlfriend, would you like to suffer for a little while with me? Realizing that living in this world is a life of suffering, isn't it? It's not an easy life. Paul rejoiced in his sufferings, and he rejoiced in the sufferings for the churches at Colossae. He writes, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church. How is it that we fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ? We suffer affliction just as our head, our federal head, has suffered affliction. We are united to Christ, and he is our king, and we will go through persecution, we'll go through trials, we will go through afflictions, just as he did. Of course, not to the same degree that he did, but we will go through trials of tribulation. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Don't be surprised at that fiery ordeal, because it comes upon you for the testing of your faith. As I mentioned earlier, Job suffered much because there was everything right in his life. Satan came to him and said, this man Job, he serves you because you do good things for him. But take away those good things and he will curse you. But Job didn't, did he? Job suffered much because God used that suffering and those trials to bless him. He was blessed in the end greater than he was in the beginning, and to sanctify him. Hebrews 11 gives us a list of Old Testament saints who suffered for their faith. Let's list a few of those. Some were tortured, not easy, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Not accepting deliverance, even though they were tortured, they did not look for deliverance out of the suffering. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Jesus was acquainted with sorrow and grief, we read in Isaiah 53. He was spit upon, he was mocked, he was scored, he was scourged. He was a king of glory, he was a king of the universe. And yet, in his humiliation, he suffered at the sake of man. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus did this willingly for us because he loves us. And he went through that suffering for us. The apostles were acquainted with trials. Remember in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul lists everything they had gone through. We talked about that in Sunday school. How would you have liked to have gone through everything Paul went through during his ministry? I don't think I'd want to be a stand-in for him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times he received 40 stripes minus one. You say, that's a strange way of saying I was scourged 39 times, isn't it? Do you know where that comes from? If you read Deuteronomy 27 and 28, the people of Israel, 6 tribes were to stand on Mount Gerizim, 6 were to stand on Mount Ebal, and antiphonally, they chanted back and forth the blessings and the curses of the covenant. The blessings and the curses of the covenant. Those who obey God and follow after him and love him receive the blessings. Those who disobey God and hate him, do not love him and follow his commandments, receive the cursings. Guess how many curses there were in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Take a wild guess. 39. What did the Jews do with this 39? When they flogged someone, they flogged them 39 times. Every time they flogged a man, they read one of the curses from Deuteronomy. When they were done, the very last flogging was 40 lashes minus one. 40 lashes minus one. Paul heard that said five different times, he says here. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, you wonder, what are all the other things? Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak with them? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn in indignation for them? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison, desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Well, let me go back to this matter of covenant curses that Paul incurred in his whipping. Galatians 3:10 says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That is one of the curses listed in Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue. What did Christ do for us? Galatians goes on to say Christ became that covenant curse for us. We deserve that curse, but Christ fulfilled the covenant of works, didn't he, for us? And he took on that curse for disobedience of that covenant. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Another curse. Who took on that curse? Jesus, of course. Secondly, let's look at the perspective on trials. How should we view trials? What perspective should we have on trials? Well, first, James says, count it joy. Count it all joy when you encounter trials. This is an imperative. This is not an option. God gives us this imperative to every believer. Count it all joy when you encounter trials. Not an easy thing, is it? Not an easy thing, is it? This is not a natural response. An unbeliever can't do this. The unbeliever doesn't have the Holy Spirit working in his heart to be able to do this. But we have the Holy Spirit working in us. We must look to God's blessings to give us the right perspective. Trials are nothing compared to the blessings we have received, and we must keep this perspective. Paul says in Romans 8, the sufferings that we go through are not comparable to the glory which awaits us. We have to keep that perspective. Glory awaits us. Yes, we will encounter suffering in life, but God will bring us into glory someday. So we must have a proper perspective. Living life in this world for a Christian is like working out in a gymnasium. I don't know how many of you worked out in a gymnasium when you were younger. I certainly haven't when I'm older. But all of life is like a gymnasium experience. We're exercising, we're overcoming various hurdles. We are strengthening our muscles as we exercise, and we are trying to develop our bodies, aren't we? Well, Jesus, or God, is developing our whole life, our minds, our bodies, and our whole being by going through these trials. Would you be the person that you are today if you hadn't gone through the trials of your past? Would anybody be the same? No, we live in a sin-cursed world, and this world will fly by, but God is shaping us and molding us now through these trials. Well, we must seek the assistance of the Holy Spirit when we go through trials. What do? We need help, don't we? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and so does Jesus from the throne room on high. They both intercede for us. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and so does our Lord. We must see our need for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to carry us through these trials. Paul says there's no trial in which there is no escape. With every temptation, God provides that escape. But we must see that this is not out of the ordinary. Every Christian will have these trials, and it's just part of our life. We must see that God is working in the trial and that God is with us in it. Of course, Romans 8:28 tells us that God works all things together for good to those who love him, even in trials. Well, God's work in us never fails. We must arm ourselves with the armor of God. That's enumerated in Ephesians 6, and it's actually taken from Isaiah 59. Who wore the armor of God that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6? And if you turn to Isaiah 59, you'll see that it is Christ who wore all these things. He put on his righteousness as a breastplate. He put on a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. These things and the Ephesians 6 passage are all things that Christ has put on for us. Putting on the armor of God is equivalent to saying putting on Christ. For Christ, of course, exhibits all these things. Now let's look at the word when. James says, when you encounter these trials, that word when means that's a certainty. That's a certainty. You will encounter trials. And he also says that these trials are various trials. They come in various sizes, intensities, at different times. Occurrences, trials test us. They give us evidence of what's inside of us. They give us evidence of our faith. Are we putting into practice the Word of God and dealing with these trials? Since he brings these trials to us, we must trust him and not waver in unbelief. And James goes on to say, a man is a double-minded man if he wavers in his belief. Peter says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Well, thirdly, let's look at the purpose of trials. The purpose of trials. It helps us to know what God is doing in our lives. If we have no purpose in our life, we have no direction in our life, and we have no understanding of what's going on in our lives. But if we know God has purposed this trial for us, it helps us to understand. God tests us like metal to see if the metal is pure. He removes our dross. These are what tests and trials do. How are you doing in your faith as you go through trials? James declares there's three purposes for trials. One, to build endurance or patience. One, to build endurance or patience. He says in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Don't we know this by experience? Have you considered yourself when you were younger and impatient? And yet after going through many trials, you become a more patient person? Maybe you say, well, I don't think I've made much progress. But God builds patience or endurance going through these trials. It's easy for us to succumb to trials, to give up and walk away, asking the Lord to remove the trial from us. But James says there's a purpose in that, to build endurance. And the second purpose he gives is to build maturity. To build maturity. He says in verse 4, let endurance have its perfect work in bringing us to maturity. He's bringing us into godliness and Christ-likeness. That is what he's bringing us into, maturity in Christ, maturity in our piety. And thirdly, to be complete, lacking in nothing. To be complete, lacking in nothing. God is working in our areas of weakness. Do you have weaknesses and gaps in your life that need to be shored up? Guess what? God's got some tailor-made trials for you to deal with each weakness that you have. He's got them tailor-made. Does your prayer life need to be improved? Does your character need to be changed in some way? Do you need to have more compassion for others? God has trials to meet each of these. You can name your own area of your life where you see weaknesses. And as you go through life, you'll see God's trials tailor-made, as I said, for those weaknesses. Paul says, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Perseverance is to bear up under a great weight. That's what perseverance is. Perseverance. Trials and tribulation also bring about wisdom. James says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and God will give it to you. What do you need wisdom for today? Is there something in your life you need wisdom? I know the session needs some wisdom right now. We always need wisdom. What does he say? Go to God and ask for wisdom. Go to God and ask for wisdom. And believe that God will give that to you and that he is able to give it to you. We are to seek for that wisdom without doubting, as Paul said, or as James said, he's a double-minded man who doubts. There's an interesting jingle a man came up with about doubting. He said, pray and doubt and you will be without. Pray and believe and you will receive. That's a true statement. God desires to give you that wisdom. Well, James 1:12 says, if we endure temptation, we will be rewarded. We will receive a crown of life. Verse 12 of James 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Beloved, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. These are appointed for you by God. They bring forth patience, maturity, and completeness in our lives. They shore up those weak gaps in our lives, those areas of sin, those areas of weakness in our lives. And God gives us a perspective of seeing these trials as part of God's providence, who works all things for our good. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do give us trials to shape our lives. You give us trials to sanctify us, to conform us to the image of Christ. Oh, Father, when we enter into trials, pray that we might have joy. Count it all joy when you encounter trials. We pray that we might have this joy, and that we may not think hard thoughts of you for bringing providentially these trials in our lives, for these times are just as important for us as the good times in life. Father, you have appointed all of these things for us, and you've apportioned them to meet our needs, to meet our weaknesses. Oh God, we pray that we would see you in each of these trials, that we would see you working and you with us in the trial, so that we may not lose heart. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.
For more sermons like the one you just heard, visit westminsteropc.com or join us at 9:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening every Lord's Day. We're located on the corner of Adams and Chickasaw in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We'd be happy to have you.